Why don't black people execute more? I'm going to break down something that might change your life as well. Recently, I was sitting down and I was preparing to do this 5-day challenge. And I said, what do I want to do it about? And I had to think about me reverse engineering my life. How did I get to a point where I was able to succeed? Right. And everything that I think about, I always go from micro to macro. I think about how things that affect me in the micro also may have a representation on the macro level of the cultural consciousness itself. And it seems like there is this tension in the air consistently over and over and over and over and over and over again. And we're always trying to figure out, how do we unite? How do we get over this hump, right? And I don't think that we figured out what other people know about us, right? And what they know about how the brain works. I think that black unity is a cognitive issue, purely cognitive issue. And I think that it really goes into us not having the right systems. It's not that we don't have the love for each other, right? It's not that we don't have the knowledge of how to do it. And it's the same thing in your own life, right? As I was sitting down thinking about what are things that I execute on and why don't I execute on certain things? And I'm like, why is this sometimes I have a level of burst of energy to where I can see myself organizing my thoughts and my ideas to achieve certain outcomes? And other times I feel like I'm procrastinating and my brain is more scattered. Then why does it feel like sometimes in history we can see black people organizing? A case in point is the Million Man March, right? There was a set outcome and goal, right? This outcome had a particular aim to it. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that we want to have 1 million people, right? That gives us a measurable goal, so we know exactly what success looks like, right? There was a date that was set, October 16th, 1995, right? Now everybody can see it, and this process is called externalization. So you can't leave it up to people's brain to utilize their mental imaging system to start thinking about what they need to do. Why? It's because trauma destroys that ability, right? A lot. That ability to imagine, right? That ability to not only imagine, but to actually think about the future in a way where it's real. See, what happens is that when you are going through trauma, trauma shortens and shrinkens your ability to see into the future, right? It makes the future only real if it's immediate, where it smacks you in the face like, oh, I need to do something because this date is about to close. Let me start organizing. And so, therefore, you lack the clarity that's needed to guide you on a day-to-day basis so that you can be a part of an outcome, whether that's in your individual life or your collective life. Right now, Black America wants to organize. And it's not that we don't know how, we don't have the systems, or particularly, unfortunately, the collective capability to do so without it being a systemic thing, right? And so we're going to go over this in a little bit. So let's think about your own life, right? As I was putting together this message today, I start thinking about my life, my family, and I start thinking about my brain in a way that it works and things of that nature. And I'm like, how come it's the point to where you know things that you cannot get yourself to do? Black America knows what to do, but cannot get the collective body to do it. Well, think about your own individual life. How many things that you know to do but don't do? Right now, gold is stocked up, right? 4,300. People are rushing to go get gold, right? It is the hedge against a failing economy. I've been breaking down solar cycles and that how us being in a peak solar cycle, which is an 11-year cycle of the sun emitting vast amounts of radiation, right, to the earth is one of the greatest indicators that we're going to go through some sort of economic collapse, right? And so I've been teaching, preaching, telling everybody about it. Yo, silver follows this collapse. Last year when I went to Canada and I spoke, I gave a great breakdown, right, on how to get backed by gold, what happens in the gold markets, what follows in a gold market, what happened during this time. So many people know, but even though they had that information, they wanted to act upon it. They thought about acting on it and they just didn't. Sounds familiar? How many of you all had a day where you had so many things planned and by the end of the day, nothing happened? The plans just stayed internal, nothing externalized, nothing actualized. So I've been identifying and I see so many people sell courses, things of that nature, and the blame is so improperly put on the teacher in a sense that the information is not valuable. No. Is the student don't have the capability to execute, not because they're not disciplined, not because they don't care enough, right? It's not a willful issue. It's that their brain is disconnected from what it knows to what it can do. Now, this goes into a deeper science that I won't have time today to get into. But let's just say that there's two parts of the brain. One that holds all the information, right, that you have, and one that plans, right, and one that executes. And let's say that you're holding information, but the part that executes does not connect to this information. So the circuitry never wires in a manner that allows you to execute day to day. And let's say that we're now living in a world that is constantly making this problem even worse, similar to what happens in an attention deficit disorder brain. But we have the same issue now in America, in the world. Everybody has attention deficit, right? Hypofrontality, where it requires more stimulation for you to feel. So this means that instead of your brain being able to stimulate from the prefrontal cortex that is responsible for long-term engagement and planning, your limbic system is taking over to where you're just trying to get a hit of dopamine. Instead, we should be seeking serotonin, delayed gratification, planning, investing. No, everything that is on social media is hyper-hitting your limbic system, trying to give you a hit of dopamine all day. So instead of that long-term reward, you're focusing on that short-term win. This is what politicians always do and engage you with, right? This is what short speak does when they're talking about things. So instead of you thinking about what is that thing we need to do long-term, you can only care about things if there's an emergency, trauma response, right? Activating the system, giving you that clarity. And then in that clarity, you're able to organize yourself based on what you know what to do, but you're always missing the deadline. We're missing the cycle. We're out of harmony. And this can get really deep. Right? Because this is this reactive mind and it requires us to have a super mind, right? So I'm on my way to London and I'm fresh in this because I'm putting together a presentation. And this presentation, by the time I'm done, I think it will allow anybody to improve, right, their performance in life, right, 100%. Whatever you feel like you couldn't do, it's not that you need more skills, it's not that you need more goals, right? You need better systems. And not only that, you need to develop environments that allow you to utilize the information that you know, right? The problem is that the phone became an environment that's continuously destroying our ability to pay attention to things, right? So now it is constantly attacking our brain and our cognitive defense system is very low and is continually advancing. So if we're in this constant state of trauma, right, and the trauma is shortening our ability to think long-term in the future, right, even though we know all the things that we should do, we can't organize it because the collective body, right, is constantly nervous. So the nervous system needs to be calm in order for us to collectively activate, or it needs to be in a state of emergency. So we're waiting for the world to end to do the right thing. Because when the world is getting closer and closer and closer to ending, you start getting that clarity on, number one, I don't have any other choice. Let me do this. Similar to when you were a child and you didn't want to do homework until the last moment. We've all been there, right? You know that, man, tomorrow I got to do this homework. I got to write this paper. So now you start getting clarity on exactly what you need to do. This can even get deeper. So Black people in the world do not have that many words for near future, right? So if we start talking about the psychology of Blacks based on the psychology of Robert L. White. He did a great study on this, right? And many other philosophers as well. But you have to remember that Black history is always oral history, right? So there's always this immediate passing down. Elder generations were the future, right? In the past, they held the information. They let you know, right? They gave you great insights, right? And that insight was the wisdom that was needed to pass down to another generation, right? They gave him methods of psychology, philosophy, science, right? History, so many different things. You had to get it from the elders. The youth would speak to the elders and they would also give them, right, new innovations, ways of thinking, right? Then there will be improvement upon iterations and functions as there was this passing down. Oral history would happen. You would gather in communities. You would share information. There will be rituals that are happening to this process. Similar to as we get into branding, but when the rituals start to destroy, the culture destroys as well, because the psychic entity that is created by the ritual of culture, right, is now being broken down. This is why in Africa, it was colonization destroyed things, because what they did is they destroyed the rituals, they destroyed the pattern, right? They destroyed the symbols, they destroyed the meaning of things, and it started to erase, right, that ability to communicate with each other. Right. It started to erase the culture in the minds of the people. And since it was not written down, right, and it wasn't externalized, it was not easy for them to continue that particular culture and the power that came from it. And so the white man came over and he understood that. The civilizations that grew the most were those who advanced to writing things down. Right? The ancient Sumerians, they had cuneiform. The ancient Egyptians, they had hieroglyphics. Right? You look at all of the civilizations that lasted 500 to 1,000 plus years, right? These were the civilizations that were able to last a long time. We look at the dynasties out there in China, right? They wrote things down with calligraphy. We look at the Moorish histories and they had vast libraries, right? Look at Mali, one of the greatest ruling empires, right? We had Timbuktu. And so it's the written knowledge that has always been a secret, because the words are very powerful to form things into existence. But to spell things is even more powerful, because to spell something is casting it over time. When you cast something over time, it is more powerful than just speaking something. The written word is more powerful than the spoken word when you're talking about time. The written word is immortal. A man may say a word once, but if nobody hears it, what does it matter? But he can write it once, and millions and billions can read it. And that reading of the mind does the same process of activating the knowledge. But this was a time where people were calm, the nervous system was calm. There was no deficit. There was no deficit, cognitive deficits happening in the mind. So you could say being it is, because the mind was working. The connection between the part of the brain that knows the knowledge, right, and that plans to execute were in flow. So there was nothing ever to stop. There was no procrastination. So as a people, what they've been trying to do is dysregulate our system for a long time. If we stay in this constant state of dysregulation, we start talking about mental health, but there's no healing happening. There's not enough cognitive sciences that are backing up this movement that we talk about, right? This little execution that's happening. We have all of these people all around, but we're in this constant frantic state of yelling at each other. And really, we all want the same thing. The conservatives say black people can build their own. The Democrats say, man, well, the government owes us. You understand me? The militants said, man, we got to do for self. We say, man, y'all acting too goddamn cool. You too dependent on them. You understand me? He's saying that you not going to get what you deserve from them. It's everybody wants one thing, though. They want the best for us so that we can be free, liberated, and sovereign. Man, maybe not everybody wants the same thing, because you have a lot of people that are capitalists only. I'm talking about the pure capitalists, where they just really want to make money, live good, and do enough philanthropy so that they can be seen good for what they have, right? They want to just, you know, relax and go to their Martha Vineyards and enjoy whatever the hell they be doing in their bouleism. Because a lot of them are bought and sold. But if we're talking about collective organization, it requires systems. Because the only way to be systems is with systems. The only way to be paperwork is with paperwork. That's it. So we're waiting for the world to end, because then we realize that we would have no other choice but to do what we already know. It's not that we don't know what to do. We have plenty of scholars, scientists, right? There's people that even criticize me and they think they know what to do. So that means that we know what to do. But how come we are not doing it together? Because the thing that we really know what to do beyond all our grand solutions, we know that nothing will matter. None of it will matter unless there is collective organization from all sides. But we're waiting for the world to end. So when you are in your own life waiting for the world to end, waiting for the deadline to come to, waiting for another emergency, and it's not that something is wrong with you in the sense that you're just not willful as the next person, your brain just don't work like that. Our current collective body just not work like that. Our current collective brain power does not work like that. Why? Because if we're getting deep into the neurons of a brain, you're going to see probably paper thin between one neuron and the other. And what happens is they're passing these little bursts of energy right between each other, which is basically the electricity that flows in between, right? But what happens is that imagine the information is not being shared. Imagine that the connection is not happening. So now the intentionality is low, meaning that you have a thought leader up here. You have a strategist over here. You have a political person over here. You have a lawyer over here. You have a person that handles capital and venture funding over here, but they're all disconnected. The passing of the information never happens. And it requires a complex system. When the Constitution was written, it was written by not one party. It was written by multiple men. Right? I believe it was, 25, 30 or something. I think 50 people. I don't have the knowledge in my head at the moment. But I know they was all young in their 20s for the most part. And it wasn't one day. It took them over 15 years to get this correct. Right? There was no one start of one president. There was multiple presidents before the one that is claimed in history. Because they were trying to get it together to where they have this clean start so it can make it seem like they just united. Why? Because they all had different ideas. America was never started off as a Christian nation. It started off as a Masonic nation. It was Christianized because that was more palatable, right, for the people to be able to accept. We can't say we started a Masonic nation in America. But how do you know? Well, look at all the Masonic temples in America. Look at all the Masonic presidents. Look at all the ancient comedic knowledge that they want to stole from the people so that they can have some sort of, new identity that they can ritualize in America. I mean, who was here before them? The geometric scientists. When you look at, Spanish Florida and, right, all of these different things in America, it has a vast history of stolen information. I was just in Columbus, Ohio, and you want to know a representation of America is Columbus, Ohio. In the name itself, one is the colonizer, one is the native. Ohio, you understand me, is the native name, and Columbus is the colonizer name. That is America in a nutshell. Columbus, Ohio. The dichotomy of America, the hypocrisy of it all. Right? And so what I'm looking at is that if we can sit and clearly just write out what the full plan is together, I think it can be done. But the problem is there's way too many chiefs. And everybody think they right. And our people have to go through a level of healing. Organization and system building in order for us to get to that moment. It's not a moral issue. It's not black people are bad, this, that, and the third. No, it's none of those things that most people think. It's a cognitive issue. It's an organizational issue. It's a systemic issue. So we have to stop making this. We're not disciplined enough, not willful, not moral. It is an issue of cognition. And everybody else understands this, and they understand why they need to play warfare to keep your mind distracted, to keep you off target, right? We don't ever want you to get clarity, because if you have clarity, you know exactly what to do right now. And your mind begins to reorganize itself to start taking the steps of action to execute. We're living in a time where we have unlimited information. Unlimited. But what we truly have is limited execution. Now, imagine this. Imagine if you could take a pill, and this pill all of a sudden would allow you to access the information you know and to execute on it. All your ideas, right? You sit down, oh, I want to write this book. Yo, I want to start this podcast.
Craving the coffee flavor you love, but without the caffeine? Cachava's got you covered with their newest coffee flavor. This all-in-one nutrition shake delivers bold, authentic flavor crafted from premium decaffeinated Brazilian beans with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Treat yourself to the flavor and nutrition your body craves. Go to cachava.com and use code FITNESS. New customers get 15% off their first order. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code FITNESS.
That's, I want to build this brand. I want to use AI, right, for this infrastructure. All of these different things. All of a sudden, instead of dreaming, you start doing. I truly believe I've cracked the code. I think I can make anyone a high performer, someone that really gets things done. And in this, though, there's process of iteration. So you're constantly testing things, figuring out what works, figuring out what doesn't work. But if you can get to this state, and funny enough, like it's a state of wellness issue as well, because parts of the brain are not getting the minerals and the substances that are beneficial for the brain to have its proper balance. Most of the world, right, has a mineral deficiency, and these mineral deficiencies are necessary. If you think about in Africa, right, and think about in China and all these different places, you have mineral resources that are required in order for us to make these phones. Without it, the phones will not get powered. This AI requires certain minerals, right, in order it won't be powered. Rare minerals. Our brain requires those minerals as well. It requires us to have magnesium and iron and multitude of different things, right? So what happens when we're not getting them? Now, some people may be able to deal with it without it. Other people need it more than others. And what's increasingly happening more and more and more and more is that the whole world is going through this state of deficiency, causing cognitive issues. Now, in some people, it's higher than others. In some people, this is very bad. I've had it. I've had times where I'm like, wow, why am I not executing the things I don't know? Why did I just let this whole day pass? And I really boggled my mind. So I've been going deep and deep and deep and deep within myself, figuring out the cognitive stack protocol, figuring out the rituals, figuring out the systems, figuring out all of these frameworks. And this is why I say it goes with the triple C's. Clarity. Capacity, capability. And I think I've mastered it. I believe I've mastered it. And I think I can take anybody to the higher level. But the beauty of being able to see it is also realizing that some people may never reach that goal. And then it's like, you can come on here and teach it, but you literally need time with people. I need to be able to sit with you. I need to be able to help you create a plan for your life, right? For execution, because I have so many things that I want to teach that I know that I do that work. But what happens when you teach people things and they can't execute on what they know? You can't get yourself to do what you know. You are smart as hell, but you cannot get yourself to do what you know. The movie Limitless is one of my favorite movies of all time. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. And the movie suggested something. It suggested that the pill did not make him smarter. It just gave him more access to his full self. Stimulated the brain processes to where they were connecting. And I believe that there's a protocol in which we can all do. And I will share things that I've never shared before or may not care to share in public. So, putting together this 5-day challenge for this, it's probably going to be my best one I've ever done. I'm proud of myself because it took years and years and years of research, and I think I've literally been preparing myself for this for a long time. So if you're following this right here, DM me the word Zion. DM me the word Zion. You're going to sign up to become a citizen in my nation, right? Our digital nation. We're not dropping any links yet. There's nothing to sign up for yet other than make sure you're registered. So when it is available, you can be one of the first to join. Now, when you're one of the first to join, we're going to limit the amount of people. So if you get in early, then you can make sure you tap in. Now, listen, some of you are camped, and it's not the reason that you think it. It's not a money issue. The reason you can't do it is because you will have a full plan of wanting to. You will think about it, right? You will say, I'm going to do that. And then when we get off this live, nothing happens. You're going to jump into a scroll. Somebody's going to call you. It's going to context switch because remember, it's a cognitive issue. You want to do something, but you can't get yourself to do it because your brain will not organize to take the steps to execute. So when I think about why you only get a certain small percentage of people when you're trying to convert for something, I realize that it's not a bad offer. It's not a bad deal. What we're psychologically trying to get you to see is the immediacy of your actions, how to organize those actions, take those steps so that you can get the benefit that you've been wanting to receive out your own life. And I'm like, wow, the fact that I can see this now clearly. It feels like I got another gift, a gift in my own life and a gift in other lives. It's beautiful. But then a curse of that is seeing exactly why the culture is not working. Because we need to be stimulated. The culture requires too much stimulation for execution. And the stimulation is feeding the limbic brain, the brain that requires dopamine hit. Not the brain that is focused on delayed gratification, doing what's important now so that our future selves, our future generations receive the benefits. Wealth is just organizing your consciousness over time to produce an outcome that is favorable. If you can do this, and this has been a secret for a long time and many people know, you can execute and you can win. It just requires a small tweak. It does require some systems, right, that you can have that produces, right, the consistency that you're looking for in your life. But once you get it, you'll find yourself being able to imagine a version of yourself and then being able to see that version in the next 60 to 90 days. I'm excited because when you crack a new code in life, you know, it makes you realize what you don't know. But then you also realize there's so much wealth that you already have inside of you and you already have access to. You just have not been able to perform the actions in order to unlock it. And that's the way I see Black America. There are actions that we just cannot perform to unlock our next level. We don't need masters. We do not need the people that they are constantly throwing at us to make us feel we need to be dependent on them. We can build all the things, but they try to keep us traumatized. And in that traumatization, we feel that we can never organize in order to actualize the things that we want to do. I get it. So this is just me sharing my thoughts with you all for now, but I will be following up. I will be following up, sharing more information on this, and you all will be able to get these keys. So if you're going to be preparing for this, prepare to detox. Prepare to detox. We're going to go through a process called externalization, which allows your brain to reorganize itself, right, so that you can begin taking the steps to make improvements. Now, listen, we are in the great time, and the great time is a dangerous time. It's where the world is in a pending fall. How do you win when the world is falling? That's the question. There are actions that one can take right now, but how do you prepare your consciousness to take the actions that your future self will benefit, even though your present self requires too much stimulation to care about things in the future? Meaning that instead of doing the action that is appropriate to the goal that you have, we are looking for stimulation because we're looking for dopamine instead of serotonin. The serotonin have receptors in the brain that calm you down, that relax you. It's what produces peace. Two different types of thinking. So, Black America is waiting for the world to end to unite. Well, I got news for you. The world has ended. You know, I built my platform up to where if I want to jump into the political cycle and start reacting to things, I can get millions of views. But the way me and my relationship with God works is, man, he doesn't allow me to do things, right, just for money, because it'd be fake. He doesn't give me that ability to fake. I can get millions of views. I can make myself this important person. I can get breakdowns of Stephen A. Smith, and I could talk about what Angela Yee and Joe Budden just did, and I could talk about so many different things, and I mean, it'll go viral. 19 Keys is on them. But me, I'm all about delayed gratification. I'm thinking about the future. And when you think about the future, you build systems so that you can benefit. So I might not have all the money that I could have, might not have all of the awards and the views and all those other different things that other people have. It's because I'm delaying gratification. I'm not going for the dopamine. And so many people go for the dopamine and they get burnt out. I'm keeping my eyes on the prize. I want sovereignty. I want to be free. I want to be protected. I want to have peace, right? I want to be comfortable in the future, so I'll be uncomfortable now. I want to do the thing that my future self will thank me for every single day. Traveling around the world, man, I'm going to be honest with y'all, man. I got a profit report from a show I did. Let's just say it was not profitable. And I'm like, man, I really just went out and taught people for hours, flew the team out, paid for a venue, set it all up, went out there, poured my heart out to teach and educate people. And I paid to do that. I must be a special type of crazy. I know if I showed my peers, they'd be like, boy, you crazy. I don't think people can understand what I know. I don't think they understand my motivations. But I love us so much that I'm willing to put it all on the line for us. But I want to do it smart, though, because the more resources I have, the greater the benefit I can have for the greater collective. So sometimes I feel like God is forcing me, right, to work so that I can appreciate it when I do have it. And if I wasn't doing it the way I do it now, then there's certain insights that I may never gather, right? Maybe I would have became too money thirsty, right? Maybe it would have worked too much. And I would have been like some of these people that are just selling you a lifestyle. So I feel like God had to take me through the process over and over and over, right? It's like when you want to make the perfect, you know, weapon or something, you're constantly refining it, put it in the fire again, hammer it, hammer it, hammer it, put it in the fire again, hammer it, clean it, sharpen it, sharpen it, sharpen it. And some people, they don't mind. They're like a dull sword. It'll cut. It'll cut. But only certain elements. It won't cut through all things. I think he's refining me for a purpose. And as long as I can see the purpose in that, and I can see the value in that, then that means that it is moving forward towards an outcome. As long as I can see these things are preparing me and not punishing me, then it will allow me to produce a great outcome. And I believe that time is now. I believe I have the keys needed to unlock the minds in a way that I've been wanting to do since I started. Books that I've been wanting to write, programs I've been wanting to put together. I think he finally gave me the keys that I've been waiting for to make to unlock your mind so that you can reach that ultimate highest level. And I'm excited to see these keys go into the world, right, and produce greatness inside of men and women. Traveling around the world, I'm gonna tell y'all a story, man. I was out in Columbus, Ohio, and this little girl walked up to me, probably around 7 years old. And she said, "Mr. Keys," sweet voice. She said, "Mr. Keys, I was just watching you." She came on stage where we was at. It was after the talk. She said, "I was just watching you, and I love your show. And I was watching you with my mommy." And she said, I said, "Oh, yeah." She said, "Yeah, the episode with you and Tabitha." She said, "I just loved it. Thank you." And her eyes started to water up. Like she was about to cry. Like I had never experienced this before. This is this young girl that I've made an impression on in a manner. We got the video. I'll show it. I made an impression on in a manner that was really touching me. And she said, "Can we take a picture?" And her mom came up, said, "That's my daughter." And her daughter name was Joy. And she hugged me, but she didn't do a regular hug. Two-hand hug. She gripped me hard like nobody had ever gripped me in a hug. And she was just so happy. She kept telling me how proud she was of me. It was a moment to remember. It was the highlight of the whole trip and maybe even of my year. Because I've been getting a message from Spirit, you know, the message from Allah, been telling me, man, go after the youth. They need you. You know, and that was confirmation. Because I don't know what in that young little girl spirit that I've activated, but that's a generation that is growing up, right? Connected to something higher than this world. And to be able to be a vessel for that, it feels beautiful because I think that they won't have the same problems that the next generation will have. I never got to meet the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and tell him how much he meant to me in my life. You know, nobody ever introduced me to him. Nobody ever opened up that pathway. But I can imagine what that would have done being a child, watching him and being able to share that moment and him being able to pour it back into me. You know, that would have been beautiful. I've never been able to meet most of the mentors that I've had from afar. Never met the Khalid Muhammads and the Malcolm X's of the world. You know, a lot of these master teachers, they're just a YouTube video for me. You know, I've seen, of course, Farrakhan in person, but so for me to be able to do that for people who appreciate what I do, it's appreciative, man, on a whole nother level. So I want to thank y'all as well, but I want to tell us that we are already in that time of emergency. So activate now. Activate now. Start now. There is no reason to wait. For every reason that you can think of to get started, do whatever you need to in order to execute. Fight for your mind. Fight for your mind. And if you win, you'll be free. Protect your attention. Because when your attention is safe, your consciousness is safe from the outside world. Your money is safe from being taken by things that are controlling your attention, because where your attention flows, your money goes. So that was the message that was on my spirit today. I wanted to share what God told me to share with you all. Do not wait till the world ends to begin building. Start now.